الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Few valuable points that we have came across and which I found very beneficial and hopefully for everyone, and let us listen to it with three intentions. One is to acquire the knowledge. That is also a great ibadah. Just to acquire the knowledge of it is also a great ibadah. And then it is not only the knowledge, and to practice upon it, let us make that niyat also, that we will practice upon it. By making the niyat now, we already get the sawab. And Allah give us the tawfiq to practice, then more sawab. And when we make niyat, everyone's niyat is to do it perfectly. Nobody will make a niyat that like sami'na wa asayna, that we hear and we're not going to do it, or that I just do it half-heartedly. When we hear the fazilat of anything, our intention is to do it properly, thoroughly. So according to that, we get the reward. When we do the amal, we know we are weak. Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The niyat of a mu'min is better than his amal. When it comes to amal, we all find ourselves to be weak. But with the niyat, and inshallah, by the barakat of the niyat, and continuously making niyat, Allah will give us sidqi niyat, the true sincere niyat, then inshallah Allah will give us that type of amal also. And then thirdly, to convey it to others. That is also a great thing. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh and all our elders have written in detail and in length that even just conveying the talk of deen to others, perhaps we're not making amal ourselves, just conveying it, they make amal, we also get the sawab. So, but we should make amal, then it has the proper effect, then the people will make amal. But even like that, just conveying it, and surprisingly, Hazrat explained that even if we're not making amal, somebody else will make amal. And it comes in the hadith also, that convey them in my message. Sometimes the one you have conveyed it to practices and understands it more better than the one who conveyed it. So we must make that niyat also, and every very easy for us to convey the message. Go home and tell our family that we have conveyed the message. Tell our friends that we have conveyed the message. And Hadrat Hadrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, rahimahullah, our sheikh, used to say that tell this message to 10 people. We are not at that time that we are young and we study, we sit with our kitabs like a student going to study for imtihan. So just telling 10 people, you will remember it. Yours will become strong. And you will get tawfiq also. You're telling continuously, you will get tawfiq. Or your wife particularly, your children will ask you, but Abba, you're not making amal on this. So then you will become conscious. The wife knows you even more better. You're telling me so much, but what about you? So that will help us to make amal also. So in this way, we will get just benefit from every side and maximum benefit. One great point that we heard from Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in one of his bayans, he says Islam has come from the time of Adam alayhi salam, but we refer to Islam in our time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So it has come to us, Allah sent it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam brought it, we have got Islam. And why did Islam come to us? Well, for the Islam, there are many meanings to it. One of it is to surrender. So we must surrender to Islam. That every law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we must surrender to it. We are weak, but we don't say sami'na wa ta'na. We say sami'na wa ta'na. We hear what your law is and we follow. Ghufranak. We are weak. We will make mistakes. We will do wrong. You forgive us, O Allah. So, the Islam has come that we must surrender to Islam. Then we were born, and we were born in Islam, in a Muslim home. We reverted, we came into Islam. Now when we came into Islam, so we had to surrender to Islam. Don't make Islam surrender to you. Don't change the laws of Islam to your liking. We go to an institute, a madrasa, anywhere, there are rules and regulations. So you don't take admission there and change the rules. You must fit into the system. That is what your duty is. So we have to fit into Islam. if we can try and work on this, many people, they get the understanding and they say, yes, this is right, this is what we must do. Not that we must, today we want to change Islam in various ways to suit us. We have to change in order to suit, to fit into Islam. Islam is the deen. Anyone who comes with any other way besides Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ, it won't be accepted from him. And we have to fit into Islam. Otherwise, our example becomes, and this is, that we also understand, we become stronger, and whoever we can speak to, we try and make them understand. One beautiful example that is given of this, a person wanted, which is not jais, it's just an example, but a lion tattooed on his body, on his hand, wherever, which is haram, it's not jais, but it's just an example. So he went to have it tattooed, so the person who was tattooing, he pricked him with a needle, and he pained, so he jumped. Very painful. What are you making? So he said, I'm making the tail of the lion. So he said, it's too painful. You can't have a lion without a tail also. So he said, okay, we won't make the tail. So then again he pricked him, again he jumped, very painful. What are you making now? Making the ear of the lion. You can't have a lion with one ear, so leave that ear out also. Then he pricked him again. Again he pained. Again he said, it's very painful. What are you making? So he said, I'm making the other ear. So he said, no, you can't have a lion without ears also. So like that, what lion are you going to have then? So like that in Islam, we want to change Islam. To live with to insurance we must have. So take out that interest whole thing. And into insurance, there is the gambling factor also. So even gambling now, you make it permissible in that way. Then this you change, that you change, then what Islam will be left? So just like that, we must not change Islam. We have to accept Islam as it has come to us. We don't go and change Islam. Even in our own personal lives, that we were, this is now permissible, this is now permissible. And as Maulana also explained, and which is going really, really in epidemic proportions and right out of hand, are the holidays story. It's going now, holidays are not holidays nearby, holidays overseas. This is an amount of money that is being spent. Also in another little booklet from the teachings of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, this booklet is written that all Muslims are complaining what conditions are on the Muslims. But if you see in this period how we behaving all these holidays, there is no halat. Muslims are enjoying, they are safe, they are protected. We got no problems whatsoever. Yeah, in South Africa also, yeah, we stay in whatever the government laws are and what is happening. No, we go. Who goes on a holiday? A person who is very happy, who is contented with everything, everything is all right, then you go for a holiday. If you got a problem, you don't go on a holiday. And the way the holidays are going and where, if you have to open up that story in the details, what and what, then if Allah's azab is not coming, what else? When we know also that how Muslims are suffering in the world, they are not having anything to eat, and we say the Jews are our enemy, these people are our enemy, those people, and we go and make them rich. And where are we spending the money? Also, somebody told very nicely how beautiful we make our kitchen. And after making the kitchen, every facility and amenity is there. Some of us, we got built cold rooms, not only a fridge, but a whole cold room, we got everything. We've got all the dry facilities built up and everything. What and what, there is a pool next to it also. Everything, but the minute we get chance to enjoy, we are going to eat out. There where you got no choice of anything. You made all the facilities for your enjoyment. The minute you get a little chance to enjoy all that, get your family together, you sit, you eat, then we are going to go and eat out there. And what we are eating there? Al-Amanul Hafiz. What things are, what is there, and what we are eating? Ajib. Also in that little booklet it is written, whenever a new thing comes out, lately was the Rohingya problem, when it came out a few months ago, everyone was talking, everyone was crying, everyone was making everything, and the problem is carrying on. Now nobody is speaking about it also. And ask ourselves, me, myself, are we making even dua for them? Nobody is stopping us from dua, and dua doesn't cost us 1 cent also. Are we even just making a dua for them? The thing is, and we are very concerned of the ummah. In that kitab also it's written, whenever such a thing happens, then, for example, Maulana will give bayan, a very dynamic bayan, what's happening, the enemies are doing this, who's behind this, there's a third force. And the minute he did that, I did my share. On the other hand, other people will go and march, other people will go and demonstrate, they'll miss their namazes in the process, man and woman mixing in the marching also, everything will happen. They feel, I did my share also. A few people will go and help out also. One, two, three times we'll go. We did our share. And our lifestyle is not changing at all. What we are doing and the gunas that we are involved in, open gunas, and we are not concerned. So this is that we have to consider all these things. And we are just, and this crying also, no tears even come out. It's just a little show that we are very concerned what's happening with the ummah. Really, we are not even concerned with ourselves, what our own condition is. And what can happen tomorrow to us. And this can happen anywhere. And what our condition is, in that kitab also it's written, when we carry on in this way, and Allah's azab comes down. People have become people who are multi-millionaires. They became beggars. They were not prepared to go and do some menial work to earn their rosy also. Because they were millionaires. Now they just being beggars. And some of them just landed on the street. They were street people. That is what became to them. And these things are staring us in the face. But yet we are so indifferent. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. So we have to change our lives. We have to understand this and how much we fit into Islam. And this is even a bigger guna. One is, you say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَ, that we listen, we obey. But we are weak, we ask your forgiveness. But this just being so indifferent and we just don't care what is happening. And especially the holiday story that is going right out of bounds. Reasonable something also, that also, Nabi, it's reported, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or it's a saying, that siyahatu ummati al-jihadu fi sabilillah. Ma ummat's touring. And that is also not a holiday. There is no place for holiday. Ma ummat's touring is to strive in the path of Allah. A person strives in the path of Allah, that is what my ummat, that is their siyahat, little but outing of theirs. That they strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Another very important point in one of kitabs about Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and he's teaching and he's making tarbiyah. Very, very important. Hazrat made a great difference, which we mention also, but Hazrat made it very, elucidated it, made it, clarified it very well. That there are things which are objectives in life, maqsood. And those are the things that we must do. Then there are other things which are not the objectives of life. They are not necessary. But we fall more behind those things. Like for example, in a home. What is a home? That there must be, in the Quran Sharif, the Quran Sharif is a home that you find sukoon in the house. To happiness. That is what you find in your home. Your wife also, لَتَسْكُنُ إِلَيْهَا. That you find sukoon in your wife. But generally, there is just an example I'm giving, that we're not worried of getting that sukoon. In a house, what we are worried? The beauty of the house. We are worried the garden must be very nice. We are worried this must be right, that must be right. But that peace in the house, that we are not worried about. And the way to get that peace, that has been also clearly defined for us. Your wife is also, you find peace and happiness in your wife. That we are not worried. We are worried that what clothes she must wear, what type of a woman she must be, but that happiness that you are supposed to find, that heart's contentment in your wife, and how to get that, that we are not worried. So anyway, what Hazrat actually explained was, in deen, in our deen, the one thing is that we have to do what Allah has commanded us. That is maqsood. And khair maqsood is that nice feeling when we make ibadat. You enjoy making your ibadat, your zikr, your tilawat, making dua, you are crying. All that nice feeling you get, that is not required at all. And those things are not in our choice also. You can't bring that nice feeling within you. That is Allah gives it. And we have not been made responsible for that either. That you must feel nice. What we have been made responsible and which is in our ikhtiyar, what we can do, is that we fulfill the command of Allah. Whether I enjoy it or not, I must get up for Fajr, I must go to the masjid, I must make my namaz with Jamaat, try and do it the best, try and make it with Takbir-e-Ula properly. That is what I am responsible, and that Allah has given me that choice to do. So that is what we must do. That, and we fall behind that nice feeling that we get. That I went ijtima, how I enjoy. But the ijtima, really the object is to go out in the path of Allah. But I didn't go out, I was eating all the chips and from the shops and all that, saw all my friends, met with them, felt very nice there, all the things. So I'm feeling very nice. That's not the object at all. The object was to bring deen in one's life, to go out in the path of Allah. So this is a very important thing also, that Hazrat says, many of us, we fall behind the things which are not the objectives. And we waste our time in there, and falling in there, whether you get it, it's not going to give you any progress to Allah. And if you don't get it, it's not going to keep you away from any progress either. But if you're doing what Allah has commanded and which is in our choice, that we will get progress. And if we don't do that, then there are strict warnings. And this little punishments which Allah sends is also the mercy of Allah. That to wake us up, like you are enjoying a deep sleep and your alarm clock goes off. That alarm clock is a mercy, otherwise you're not going to be on time for job, you'll get fired. So though that alarm clock like disturbed you, you're having a good, very nice dream, and there the alarm clock went off. Just when you were going to enjoy what you were seeing in your dream, there the alarm clock went off. Or when it went off, you're tired still. Why did the alarm clock go off? But that is a mercy. It's going to, now you, all your job and all your work, what you were supposed to do, you go. So Allah sends little things to remind us. And that is also a mercy of Allah Ta'ala, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجَعُونَ, so that we can turn back to Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. So that is also one very important thing which Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has taught us. Another very great thing which Hazrat has taught us, and in the An-Nasiha which will come out, this article is in there also, and we should try and read that article, it's given more in detail there. Hazrat explained that many times we aspire and endeavor for those things which are not within our limit. You can never reach that. It's out of your limit. But you're making effort for that. While on the other side, those things which you can make effort for, and where you can reach that, you don't make effort for that. One broad example of that is Nabuwat. It's impossible a person can become a Nabi now, there is no question. But if any person thinks that what the Nabi is, the closeness of Allah, I also must become a Nabi. Na'uz billah, that is haram also, it's impossible also. To become a Sahabi is out of the question. We can't become a Sahabi. Sahabi will be that person who was in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who got the sohbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, which is impossible today. Their example is there. We have to try and emulate that example. But don't think I can become a Sahabi. Don't think I can become a Nabi. That's out of the question. Like that, there are other things also which are beyond our capacity. Like for example, if I'm not beautiful, handsome. Somebody else is, I must become handsome now. So I start going to beauty parlors. Women, even men go now. Hey, woman also all the time beauty parlors. No, you accept yourself as you are. Don't you worry about those things. They are not the maqsood of life. They are not in your choice also. Yes, your akhlaq, to correct your akhlaq, that is in your choice. But that no attention. Who pays attention to correct the akhlaq? How my dressing is, and I must be attractive, and people must be attracted to me. That we are so worried about. And that is not the objective, and we can't. You know, same way, more easier to understand, that I want to be tall. You can't be tall. Allah made you short, you are short. You are middle, average height, you are average height. So don't try now and wear high heels and an extra heel you put on and you want to be a woman with all the high heels. You're a short lady, you're a short lady. You don't now have to put all that high heels and become taller. You can't. That's not in your choice. Do what is in your choice, what you can. Be hardworking, be honest, be truthful. Those things are within you. But nobody's thoughts go to these things. That what we have to be doing, we must be doing that. And we are always, and that makes you now depressed, despondent. I'm not beautiful like that woman. I'm not handsome like that man. I'm not like this. This is not in your choice. Just accept it. What Allah has given, made you, and who has made you? Allah is your maker. You're unhappy with Allah is your maker. Whatever your looks are, Allah is your maker. You'll be happy and content. Who has made me? Ma Allah has made me. In the same way, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, and this is also very, very important, my wife, Allah has given her to me. She's not beautiful, no problem. Who gave her to you? Allah gave her to you. So when Allah gave her, be happy with you. She's not so beautiful, not so, no problem. But she's a gift from Allah Ta'ala. Ye meri Layla, Mawla ki ata ki hui hai. This my Layla, Mawla gave her to me. So be happy with her. Why now you want the, you're not so beautiful? And then the worst, we pass remark, hurt her feelings. And really, you are not hurting her feelings. Allah is taking off my bandi, and you talking to her. I gave you in marriage, and now you're breaking her heart. That you not fit for me, and you are like this, and you are like that. You don't cook right. You don't know how to cook. You are not beautiful. You are fat. You are short, and you are ugly. You are black, and you are ugly. No, that is not at all. So what you can do, your wife, you make effort, her akhlaq comes right. She's a pious lady. She endeavors to observe the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Those are the things. You have ta'aleem in your house. You make dua for her. Many of our problems, ask ourselves if we make one's dua. We admit that we are spoilers. We are breakers. Allah is the maker. But if we ask Allah to make it for us, that I got a problem with my children, Allah save us all. I got a problem with my wife, with my family. Do we may ever make dua? And that is the first place we must go to. Allah is the dua. So that is also one very important thing, that we make dua for everyone. We got our workers. We're not happy with a worker. Did we make dua? Ya Allah, you make him to be that he is right and he works right. That he is happy with me. I'm happy with him. We have a good working environment. Do we ever make duas also? Whereas the first thing of a mu'min is to make dua. And when we can, get up for tahajjud. Make the tahajjud namaz. And then make dua to Allah. Make Allah happy first. Then ask Allah Ta'ala. Come to the masjid. Give some sadaqah. Then keep a roza, and then ask Allah Ta'ala. So the real solution, we haven't got it. It's by Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is the one. So first make Allah happy, and then you take from Allah Ta'ala. And if there isn't the occasion, it's an emergency, then as you are now doing what you have to, you are rushing to the hospital, there's a fire, Allah protect us all, you are calling the people, the fire brigade. But in the meantime with that, your heart is turned to Allah. You seem to all the intizam also, but your heart be turned to Allah Ta'ala. And all that can only happen when we have turned our hearts to Allah normally. And also that when we turn our hearts to Allah Ta'ala, it comes clearly in the hadith. At the time of a problem, a person cries to Allah, the malaika also say strange voice. We never heard this voice before. So had we been connected, they know exactly. Like we also know, somebody comes and visit. How, just when they come, we know it's these people, this family, because we know them. Strangers come, who is this? These are strangers. Or on your ID, on your phone, you see the number, you know exactly who is it. A private, who is this now? And if it's a bit late at night, you're hesitant to even take the call. Who is this calling? It's a private number, and he's calling at night, and you don't want to take the call also. So if we got that contact with Allah Ta'ala, then the malaika, oh, this voice we know. Oh, he's got an emergency. What's his emergency? Let us see to it. So Allah give us tawfiq. And there are a few other valuable points also which Hazrat Maulana has, his teachings were. Very, very ajeeb how his teachings were, that Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that we can bring these things and understand them. And these points, Allah give tawfiq, we will repeat them a few times because they are very important. And with more explanation, as Allah gives us tawfiq, that it can come into our lives and we can. Otherwise, a person makes whole life effort on a thing which was not necessary. And now when he comes to his mort, now he realizes you are making whole life effort on an imitation thing. When you come to your mort, you realize, oh, that was imitation. The real thing is this, what I had to do. So if we can come to understand that, that what is what are the objectives, what are the things as far as deen is concerned, and this is in dunya things also. If we get it right in deen, it will help us in dunya things also. Like for example, a car. What is the object in the car? Some people, just the exaggeration, hopefully there is nobody like that, stupid like me, that just the hooter must be nice. Hooter must sound nice. A little musical tone or something, the hooter. That's not the object of the object of the car is something else. And today, which is a reality, mags they must be. And all the other things, those are not the objects. A good car, nice, comfortable, which takes you from point A to B, and you understand the car nicely, you can drive it nicely, that is the object, you, your family can sit nicely. Not all the hooter sound and the mags and all the extras and the bumpers and all the... Today, how much money we spend on that. And those are not the objectives. The real objective, and if we understand the real objective, we will save so much money. On all those extras, how much of money is going? And in the same way, as far as deen is concerned, how much of our energy, how much of our time is all going on unnecessary things? If we can get this right, it will bring peace in our lives. Even a non-Muslim, if he understands what is the object and what are not the objectives, his life will also become peaceful. And a mu'min with iman, what to say about him? How pleasant won't his life become? Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Also, Hazrat has explained one other very important point, that the nature of a person, what your nature is, some people have got a lot of love in them. So Hazrat explained that the work of the sheikh, when somebody comes to him, and you know, and that has to be a sheikh also, who we are far, far from it, we don't fit one iota where Hadhrat Muhammad Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, and he has been the mujaddid of tasawwuf after centuries. Many, many centuries have passed, and tasawwuf went completely in the wrong direction. And the wrong things, even the mashayikh of the time, and Hadhrat, right, the jahil Sufis, ignorant Sufis, they made all the things which are not important, they made that the important things in their khanqah. And all were just engaged with all other things, like various types of wazifas, and zikrs, etc. Hazrat says that was many other things like that, the mujahada also, which they made their murids make, which were not necessary also. That was just the Sufis of before times did those things so that it was a necessity of that time. But afterwards, the Sufis made those things their objectives. Leading a lot of wazifas, Hazrat explains that generally Muslims understand, all Muslims, that our aqaid must be correct. Our ibadat must be correct. Namaz, this must be in place. Person doesn't read namaz, wrong namaz, and this is not right. Your aqidahs are not, and today that is a very important thing. The aqidahs, how many wrong people, whatever what they are doing, to watch our aqidahs is one very, very important thing. Then they say there are few alims, few, who will pay attention to muamalat, that our financial matters must be correct. Otherwise, by and large, we don't think how to do business. We just start business. And how we see others doing, or what the riwaj in our country, how the people are doing, we just follow suit. Whether it's in conformity with Sharia or not, we not worry. Whether our money we are earning is halal or not, we get a job at a bank, we start a bank, we start working there. Whether that money of ours is halal or not, we not concerned. We make an investment. And today, everything is Sharia compliant. And everything is kosher. So it's fine. But we don't find out whether it is fine or not. So that is some few alims, he says, I worried about that. And then he says, there's some Sufis, some mashayikh, who are in the khanqahs, they worry about akhlaq. That akhlaq must come right. But he says, very, very few in the world are worried about muasharat. That how our society, how, and the sum total of hadrat, of muasharat, means that you must not inconvenience, hurt, put anyone to any difficulty, inconvenience. That is the sum total. But that is still, whatever gathering we have, almost every gathering, a paper will come to the MC or somebody that this guy is blocking the traffic. This guy is blocking the emergency lane. This guy is parked in front of a non-Muslim's gate. Hazrat says this is the worst. Still we will find so many people. It just, we don't understand. You'll go till the door of the masjid, and at the door you start a discussion. And sometimes you don't realize somebody else started it, and before you know, you see the traffic has piled up already. Four or five people want to pass, you are blocking them all. And this is happening, and this, Hazrat says, is the most important thing. He said the other things are hukukullah, most of the things. Allah Ta'ala will, and Allah is very forgiving. But what hukukul ibad, Allah is very just in that. And He won't forgive till that person has forgiven. In that, as Maulana said, that biting is a thing. Lying is such a thing. The tongue today is right out of control. So those, today is the time, like we're going with the car. And two cars will park next to one on the street. And the drivers are talking to one another. And other people want to pass. And some people just don't care. They don't see that the others, or they know, but they don't worry. Our conversation must first be finished. Then, or at the gate, we stop there. And we are busy talking. Now the whole road is blocked. So all these things, Hazrat said, that's a very... And he says, if this comes right, then all the other things will also come right. And Hazrat's whole effort, in fact, Hazrat used to say, if you want to become a human being, you come here. If you want to become what so-called Sufi, lot of wazifas and lot of nafils, etc., and lot of muraqabas, you go somewhere else. But if you want to become an insan, and this is what is an insan. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of that also. And one very ajeeb point Hazrat has explained, that Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِنَّكَ, addressing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. This ayat today is only left for us Maulvis to make bayan on it. That what was the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was not the object of that at all. The object Allah told that, O Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, you have got the most honorable and highest akhlaq. So the shaykh has to also have that akhlaq. Today we are zero, minus in all those things. And then for the ummah is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That akhlaq which Allah gave to one Hindu or a Jew, that he explained in one jalsa, that the only person, a Hindu or a Jew, the only person in the world that nobody can put a fingertip, a pin on his character in any part whatsoever, is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His akhlaq, his character, how Allah Ta'ala, of course we can, as I said, Anbiya alayhi salat, where can we, and Sayyidul Anbiya, and we think that we can be like him, yeah, we keep him as our model. And we try and follow him as much as we can. But what Allah had blessed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with, it's out of our reach completely. But anyway, to some extent, a mother today, a father today, we must be able to tell our children, our married daughter, you be a mother like, you be a wife like me. You be a mother like me. Can we say that? The father today must tell his married son, you be a father like I was a father to you. Can we say that? You be like me. Sahaba were made by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever they should say go, that you become like us. That is what we want you to become like us. Today we can't say that. We ourselves are. I'm rotten. How can I tell somebody else? So this is very important. And then if we really get the understanding, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat explains that nobody, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah has only made us responsible for that which we can do. That is all. But today we have put our goals in the wrong direction. Things which are not our objectives, enjoyment in our ibadah. So then we find deen is difficult. I'm not getting that enjoyment. Or a thing which was not my object, and I want to reach there, and the deen is difficult. No, deen, Allah has made, that how much you can do, so much Allah made you responsible. If we understand that, and then, ad-deen o yusrun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deen is easy. But if we approach deen in the correct way, usually give that example, you got a puncture, and you don't know how to change the wheel. And you take a chisel and a 4-pound hammer, and you start knocking off the balls. And then you get some 5-10 people to hold the car up for you. And what a mess you will make. But if you just learn how to do it, you can be an old man, you can be having heart problem, and with all the gadgets available today, you can take off the balls also from your cigarette lighter. You can connect there and it will loosen the balls, it will pump, raise your car also, and with little slowly you can change it easily and comfortably. Deen is exactly the same. If we approach deen in the right, today many people, deen is too bitter, deen is too hard, too difficult. We have chosen the wrong way of presenting deen. So how Nabi Ali, if we think of what, who the Sahaba, the majority of them before Islam was, and what they became after they accepted Islam, we can't, so to say, we can't believe this had happened. What a transformation. So today, if we also approach deen, and this is what we have to learn, approach deen in the correct way. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah has only made us responsible for that which we can do. And the whole of deen, we are, so we can do, but just get it right. Today we made the things which are not objectives, objectives which are impossible. Things which are out of our reach, beyond our reach, we made that our, so now deen is very difficult. Deen is very hard. And if we take it to that level, that how much I can do, I'm responsible for that. Then that is easy. So for example, love Allah Ta'ala has put in a person. All now that has to be done, that love, you got it for material things, you got it for other women, the direction must be. Don't take out that love from that person. Change the direction. Izala maqsood nahi, imala maqsood hai. Don't remove that love, that this love is very bad. No. Just say, turn it to Allah Ta'ala, turn it to deen, that is all. Make that lovable. And there is enough fazail hadith of all the things that, what great virtues there are in everything. So your love will grow in that way. A person has got anger, don't try and take out the anger from that person. He is getting angry for material things. He is getting angry because he, you have hurt him, you attacked him. His personality you attacked. Now that anger, just turn it for Allah Ta'ala's sake. For a person, for deen, he has done something wrong in deen. Let his anger come out there. Let his anger come out on the wrong things. Today our anger we have got, but we'll take it out. The child broke a cup, for example. The wife, something in the house, she spoiled it, it went off, food she burnt, and we get so cross. Or she left the light on, or whatever else she did, we get angry on that. She didn't read her namaz? No, it doesn't matter. She didn't make her tilawat, it doesn't matter. So the anger must be turned in the right direction. That is all. A person hasn't got love. There are certain people who just haven't got the madda of love. No problem. You don't have it, you don't have it. Now you just have to make your ibadah. If you don't love making ibadah because you haven't got the quality of love in you. Lust is different. Many of us only have got lust. And we got no love. You won't show love to your wife. You just want yourself to be satisfied. Be satisfied. For that time, you just to say a few sweet words. But it is not really that you're feeling your wife is like that. Just you making her happy for the occasion that she must satisfy you. It's only your lust you are after. So you got no love. No problem, you haven't got love. It's your nature. Allah didn't put a share of love in you. But you fulfill the commands of Allah, what you have to do. Even without love, you fulfill them. And if you do, gradually you can build the quality of love, which normally is not possible also. Hazrat said, what Allah has put? Intelligence. Somebody is an intelligent person. And Allah, you haven't got that intelligence, you haven't got it. Don't try and, work hard, study hard, do all your things hard, but you haven't got that intelligence, you haven't got it. Allah did it. Now you fighting to get that intelligence, now you think it's very hard. No, you're not responsible for that. What you are responsible, and everyone has got his limits. And everyone, of course, and Hazrat Muhammad Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, learned teaching from the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that every sahabi, according to his nature, he treated him. And after they became perfect, that the Islam was made perfect, yet they were not equal. This one excelled in that field. This one excelled in that field. The same way, the murids also, when they become, if the Islam is made properly and completely, doesn't mean that they're all going to be perfect in qiraat, all going to be perfect in tawazu. all going to be perfect in sincerity. No, everyone according to his, he will be like that. But he has reached tatmeel, he has reached perfection. But he's going to be, there will be difference there. And that is human nature. All humans can never be the same. If we all had the same desires, we all should be driving Volkswagen and Beetles. Everyone, how boring shouldn't it be? And we all should be wearing the same clothes all the time. How should we? And we all should be with the same faces also. It's not like that. Everyone is different. Everyone's fingerprint is different. Everyone's eye, all that is different. Everyone's voice is different. Everyone's temperament is also different. So everyone, according to what he is, that is what you have, to bake perfection what you have got. If everyone was just a baker, and we only had bakers everywhere, and no grocery shops, no carpenters, no plumbers, what should happen? Somebody is a plumber, Mubarak, he has to do his plumbing work. Somebody is a carpenter, Mubarak, he was going. Don't make all carpenters, and don't make all plumbers, everyone. So, and the plumber in his field will reach perfection, but he's not equal to a carpenter. And the carpenter will reach his perfection, and he's not equal to a doctor. Everyone in his field appreciates and understands the difference. What a man Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was. And we can get some understanding if we follow those who followed with him. And if we read his kitabs and those who analyze Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Very few people even recognize him. Those who recognize him, they said the first thing before he was a mu'min and a Muslim, he was a human being. And that is what we have to become, human beings. That we are feeling for other people as Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.